Good evening to each one. Greet you in Jesus' name. Thank Brother Ron for those thoughts that he shared with us from God's Word. Just, I guess it's not evening yet. He said afternoon, but to me it's evening. Because I'm a creature of habit. Once you have church, it's evening. But anyhow, it's good to be here. I feel that the subject was introduced already that I want to share this evening. Brother Marlin mentioned this morning in his opening comments, he introduced the subject already. Can anyone remember what Marlin's opening comment was this morning? Wheels are turning. Do you remember? He was talking about being thankful for the land we live in and the nation that we can. We're not oppressed by them. We can serve God. I don't know word for word, but he mentioned the word thankfulness. And this evening, that's what I would like to think about, thankfulness. This is something that my dad was reminded us often of. And at lunchtime, I heard some of you talking about, you know, how we're getting like our dad some. And us as young people don't like to think that, or we as middle-aged people don't like to think that way as too often. But my dad often talked about thankfulness. We know we need to be a thankful people. And this evening, it's another practical message. I believe, I don't know that you're, with this morning's message, I appreciate the kindness I felt from each one of you. I don't look at you as unkind people. And I don't look at you all as unthankful people. But I do believe that we need to be reminded again, in God's Word, how He views this command of thankfulness. A thankful person is one who's positive. A thankful person is gracious. A thankful person is loving and humble. Again, the Bible commands this. In Ephesians 5, verse 20, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We as parents, when we give a command, do you expect to give it three times before they listen, or till your voice gets to a certain octave, or can the child choose if they want to? How does God view how we listen to this command? He says, I want you to be a thankful people. When we have this proper view of God, and we see Him as the God that Ron was talking about, I believe we will be this thankful people. Self is crucified. A selfish person ain't necessarily a thankful person. The children of Israel, and this is where every time I think of this subject on thankfulness, I think of my dad. He said, the children of Israel, they failed to thank God, and it was a sin. When their riches increased, they became more unthankful. And how much in our nation, if you ever have opportunity to go to a third world country or anywhere, you see how little people have it. We come back home, you say, you know what, we have all this stuff. But yet we like a little more. We want a little more ease, a little more comfort. I believe we do well to stop and ponder that thought. How do I view the things I have? Do I see them as Psalms 24 puts it, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You know, we were taught from little on up that everything's God. God gave us everything, but is that really how the mentality I live with? Or does some things just find hard to leave my grip? Psalms 89, verse 11. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. And as for the world, the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. Again, this evening, do you feel like you're a sole owner of what you have? Or what you have, is it your families? You know, are the children free to use the things you have? Or is this mine and only by special permission. And I think there's some things where we teach our children as they grow older, they gain more responsibility. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the things that we as dads can call ours, and we as older siblings can call out. You know, we have these perimeters because, you know what, after all, I bought this with my money, and we become very possessive of it. Let's remember that God is the giver of it. And who is really ruling the throne of my heart? How do I view my lot in life? Psalm 16, verse 6. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. How easy is that to say amen to? I'm satisfied, Lord, right where you have me. To believe this verse, we had to be convinced in what Jesus taught. Throughout his life, his ministry here on earth, how loosely he lived with the conveniences of the world around him. He had no place to lay his head. He had more interest in the work of others than his own good, his own comfort. The earlier verses there in Ecclesiastes 3, it talks about time when we are born and a time to die, a time to plant, harvest, laugh, mourn. And like I said, many of us were taught from little on up all these practices and all these benefits, and how so much of our everything we enjoy is given of God. But are we living with that thankful heart? Do you ever feel overwhelmed with the duties of the day or the cares of life? I believe probably 10 years ago, Nelson and Ron didn't expect to be sitting where they're sitting. And there's times I'm sure they ask God, why? We're human. We do these things. If you're a young person here this morning, and you're planning to sell out and follow God, He will take you in places you thought were never possible. But continue to follow Him. Thank Him each step of the way. Thank Him for His care, His provisions, His enabling grace. And I'm sure each one of you are thankful that not everything in life went the way we thought would. There's times we're glad for God's protective hand over our life, in the decisions and the choices we made that could have been devastating or could have been fatal. Can we see God at those times as well? But when I read Isaiah 64, verse 8, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we all are the works of thy hands. Ain't that a beautiful picture this evening? I love that verse, Sal. As we live our life for God, you know, He takes these seeming hard circumstances of time, He makes them beautiful. And in those times of shaping, it's painful, it's hard, it's difficult, we don't understand. But as we look back years later, you can see that there was beauty in the potter's hand. But so often in those times, we feel the pressure and the pain, and we rely on human reasoning to say, how can I get out of this as fast as I can? Or can we just say to God, here I am. Mold me and make me. Shape me after thy will. There's nothing unfair. There's no unfair circumstances. There's no difficult times for God. I believe that's why He says that we need to be thankful and joyful, like He says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18. Why are these so short verses? But they're loaded. Rejoice evermore. How? Pray without ceasing. Why? In everything give thanks. Again, it all comes back to this thing of how my heart is in tune with God. How I view that potter, and how much of a pliable, workable piece of clay am I? Am I willing to just say, Lord, here I am. Use me in the way that you see best. Praise and thanksgiving can't be separated. Again, we choose to be thankful. When we choose to be thankful, we consciously take the minds off of our problems and our needs and put our focus on God. He is power. He is merciful. He is love. You know, each one of us had times in our life when our schedules or our plans were interrupted, or there was some sort of conflict. And you know what? We spent all week or the entire month thinking that, you know, this is going to just go just like clockwork. Everything's going to be fine. And something turns the world upside down, or next thing to it. What's your heart like at that moment? 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort you therefore that first of all, this is the first thing we should do, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So everything that comes into my life, every person that the Lord allows to come into my life does not have immediate positive results. Right now, probably each of us has someone in our life, in our family, that you just want to... Why? But first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks. Wrap your mind around those four little words. In the circumstances, in the trials, in the people you have to work with. If we focus on God, turn our minds and hearts to Him, the burden leaves. He fills us, gives us that grace. He gives us that heart of love that touches those lives. It may be humiliating, but we need to accept that. When we do this thing, we can grow into what God wants us to be. And I believe that's where that true happiness and that satisfaction is found as we apply that verse to our life. How do we get started? How do I become a thankful person? It starts with your choice here this evening. Today, after all, we talked about our children here just a little earlier. You know, how soon do we want them to obey this command? Well, when we say it's time to get dressed. Yes, I think all homes are alike. There's that little bit of a tolerance line. But you know what? You expect it to happen. But that's what God wants from you and I. We need to start today by taking personal responsibility. Leviticus 7 is an Old Testament account how God wanted every person, every man, to take personal responsibility to bring an offering with his own hands. It took time and effort to make that sacrifice. Taking personal responsibility comes in so many ways. So many little ways that our children catch sight, glimpses of, as far as us adults, how thankful we are. How much do you take for granted for the meal times? Your wife spends, I don't know how long it takes to make a meal, but it's always good eating. Can we as fathers set a good example by saying thank you? Our little children need to be reminded, you know, when someone gives them something. Yes, it's sometimes embarrassing. They just take the candy and, you know, it's theirs. And you look at them, and all it takes is a little glimpse, and they, oh, I need to be thankful. These little things are little seeds, but it's forming a character? How are we teaching playing habits to our children? To be kind, sharing, using manners. These are ways to start such small, plant little seeds in this habit of being thankful. And developing an attitude of thankfulness, I believe, starts right there as well. We know attitudes, how fast they can grow. And we often, when we think of an attitude, we think of the negative side of it. The bad attitudes. But unthankfulness is a bad attitude. We tend to, when we have an unthankful heart, we will be a negative person. We will focus on the faults and failures and shortcomings of others. We'll have an exalted view of ourselves. So when we have that focus, we fall into this pit. This pit of unthankfulness, like the children of Israel, fell in this rut time and time again. And God judged them at times very severely, it seems, for this sin. In the book of Numbers, I believe between chapter 11 through 21, I believe they failed 7 times. And we'll just look at them briefly. I have them jotted down here. In chapter 11, it was about their misfortune. They complained their problems instead of praying to God about them. Thousands of people were destroyed when God sent a plague of fire to punish them, just because of complaining. In chapter 11, verse 4, they complained about the lack of meat. They lusted after things they didn't have. And God sent quail. But as the people began to eat, God struck them with a plague that killed many. How many of you can miss a couple weeks with no ice cream? I like ice cream. We have a lot of good eating in this land. Would I focus, if I would have to be placed in another part of the world where I wouldn't have these, your mind would think of the Baconator. Wouldn't it? But God, here he judged these people severely. In chapter 14, they began stuck in the wilderness, facing the giants of the promised land, and wished to return to Egypt. And those that openly rebelled against God, the leaders, and failed to trust in the promises. And all those who complained were not allowed to enter into the promised land. This land that they came out of Egypt, they seen all the works that God did for them. And how he conquered nations and with them almost just following the simple steps that God gave them. But yet when they were right before entering into the promised land, they complained and they were doomed to die in the wilderness, to wander around. Chapter 16. About Moses. They complained about Moses and Aaron's authority and leadership. The sin was they were greedy for more power. They wanted the authority. And we know that Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and all that were with him, the ground opened up and swallowed him. And then the fire burned 250 other men who rebelled. And another one in 16. That Moses and Aaron's cause of death, of Korah and his workers, the sin they blamed others for their own troubles, and God began to destroy the children again with a plague, and then Moses and Aaron made an atonement for the people, but 14,000 and some were killed already. Then they were in the wilderness, and they had in chapter 20 they had a lack of water. And they refused to believe that God would provide as he had promised. And Moses sinned along with the people. And he was barred from the promised land. 21. They complained that God and Moses brought them into the wilderness. And their sin was they failed to recognize their problems were brought on their own disobedience. And that's when God sent the poisonous snakes that bit the people and killed many and injured others. So in this land of plenty, how many of these complaints come close to each one of us? I hope they do not. But I do know, as in the good times we live, we tend to want more. But we need to be thankful, have a heart of thankfulness. We need to develop it so we do not become like these children of Israel. I believe they did have, there was some who had a thankful heart, because later on in Numbers chapter 31, they thanked God for sparing every man. They went to a battle, and there was not one man lost his life in that battle, and they thanked God for it. Again, they viewed their view of God was still alive, but they were very weak. Ron Toucher, we've been saved from so much. And we are so blessed. And it's not because we're lucky. It's because of God's care. Do we thank Him? It needs to be a continual part of our life. 1 Chronicles 16, when the ark of the Lord was coming back, David assigned special people, the Levites, to give praise continually and thank God as the ark was coming back. I realize there's times in our life where there's great rejoicing and thanksgiving made. But we do need to remember we have good every day. Every day we need to remember what God has done for us. Every day we need to tell others about it. And that is expressed in the circumstances we face. In showing God's glory to others. And another element we can do is by offering our time, our resources, ourself, to many causes. Showing God's glory to others. I was impressed with an old brethren man in our community this past week. He moved out of the area and he was stopped back, and there's a couple, they're older men now. He graduated with them a couple years ago. And he always, his testimony, my view of his life, he's always a cheerful, happy man. I'm sure there's down moments in his life, but he's always serving the Lord, has a word on his tongue for the Lord, and he went to go meet some of his old classmates. There's one old classmate there right in the community that has health issues and he's not doing well. And as he stopped in there and was talking to him, he put his hand on his shoulder and he said, "Are you ready to cross Jordan with me?" They're not old men, but they're older. He said, "I think of this every day. Aren't you ready to cross Jordan with me?" This man ain't living a good life. The one he's was talking to. His wife was there with him. He says, "You know you're not ready to go." And as Ed stood there and talked to him, he was thanking God for what God did for his life. He was pleading with the other individual. He had a thankful heart, giving God the glory, encouraging the other old friend to come along with him. And the other one just sat there. But he was a thankful person. He was sharing the joy of the Lord that he was experiencing, what he has experienced in his own life. And it wasn't a burden to him. I was so blessed by how he could pour his heart out to an old classmate. But that needs to be for us as young ones as well. I took that challenge upon myself. You know, how cheerful and how thankful am I for what God has done to me? And how am I expressing that to the world around me? Giving thanks. Psalms 92, 1 and 2. "In It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, and to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. Here we see how thankfulness needs to be a daily part of our life. I always enjoyed listening to the children's prayers. They go through the whole list of things that mean so much to them. And we as adults sit there like, you know, you listen to them, you're like, what did they say? And we're like, whatever. But that's what God wants to hear from each one of us. He wants to hear the little details as well. That's a challenge I face, just being honest with God, telling me how much I appreciate those little things. A daily part. And as our minds, it talks about at night. In verse 2 there, it says, and thy faithfulness every night. I don't think I'm getting old. I like to tell myself that. But nights, I guess it comes with growing older or something. You lay awake. What does your mind dwell on at those moments? Is it thanking God for his loving kindness and his faithfulness? Or is it worrying about the whole host of things that we have no control over? It's a challenge I face. To remember to thank God and praise him. Just as a child would. And I believe he blesses that life. In every area of life, we need to have thankfulness woven into it like the psalmist did. How often do we pray for his protection in the morning? And his strength and his comfort. And we don't like to pray for patience. Because with patience comes trials. But as he leads us through trying times, we're so thankful for his presence as he walks with us. We thank him for his love. We ask him for help in special needs. And when he supplies them, we have to remember to thank him. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier we looked at the verse there. It says everything is his. He's the founder of it. He knows our needs. We need to simply ask him and he'll provide, and we need to thank. He loves when we depend on him. We look at our children, how dependent they are and how much of a blessing they are. We're no different to our Father. He knows we're needy and we try to be so independent. But God wants us to be dependent. He wants us to rely on him for help. And he will supply our needs. He has all things available for us. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are called according to his purpose. This evening, God has your good in mind. He is not trying to make life miserable. He's not trying to make life hard. He just wants to use you in a way that will bring honor and glory to him. That don't mean it's going to be pain-free. But as our neighbors watch our lives, as our neighbors observe how we handle those tests and trials, and they see that pleasant, that peaceful person, just thanking God. It's a tremendous witness to the world. Also, we need to remember to thank God no matter how small or indifferent we are, or we may feel. In Luke 17 was an old leper, and we know that in those days, the lepers had to live outside the wall. They weren't supposed to interact with people. They were out of society. They weren't supposed to be around. And here comes Jesus and healed the man, the leper. And he returned and gave thanks to God. He could have said, I'm just an old leper on the other side of the wall. God told me to go show myself to the priest. But he returned to give thanks. So no matter how small and indifferent we feel, let's be thankful. Thank those who help us. We think of the lame man there in Acts chapter 3 when the disciples came through there and he was rattling his can, asking for money, and was it Paul said, silver and gold I have not, but such I have. And he healed the man. The man leaped to his feet, thanking and praising God. Paul didn't have to do that. That man had a changed life. And we all like that account, how enthusiastic, which it would have been. But how enthusiastic am I with all the good I have? Ron touched on this. Thankfulness for the is a proper response to our salvation. Ephesians 2. Let's turn to that. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved, through faith. It is not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When you receive a gift, when your children receive a gift, they're thankful. This gift of salvation, how thankful are we for it? It needs to motivate us and put us in action. It's not for just ourselves. So often we get wrapped up in life and we forget really the purpose why we're here. It's to be, radiate the love of Christ and what he has done to the world around us. Earlier we looked at there in 1 Thessalonians 5, there's three verses. How do I give thanks in everything? How do I rejoice evermore? Can you live with that joyful heart? That heart of praise? How can I pray without ceasing? I believe our mind needs to be ever in tune with God. Our heart needs to be in tune with God. As we do that, this ain't a chore. We don't have to make that mental decision. It's time for me to pray. You know what? It becomes a way of life. It's throughout the day we communicate with God. We remember needs and we have that heart of praise and thankfulness. And it's not a burden. And the world sees that. And God bless you as you continue to do that as you go from day to day. Because we are the Bible which the world reads. Going back to the thought of the potter and the clay. No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you. After all, to whom do we belong? Who are we professing to be? Aren't we professing to be the little Christ? That reflection that Jesus was when he walked on this earth. Many times he turned his mind, his heart to the Father. We do well to ponder that very action that Jesus did. No matter what happens, no matter what's at stake, life was not fair. But he said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. How strong is my faith in God? We have this enemy who's ever around us, throwing darts, trying to get our focus on ourselves, showing how much we don't have and how much we should have. The world is good at advertising things that would be pleasant right now. It would be much better. We dare not set our focus on those things, or we become dissatisfied and unthankful. So as we are God's children, as we're representing the life of Jesus, and the world observes our lives, and what seems to be blunt blockades in our life, we need to remember that this was orchestrated, this was planned, this was allowed by our Father. We're used to all kinds of filters in our life. You know, the filter was made for one thing. That was to keep something from coming through the system. That's what God does for us. There's nothing that comes into our life that He didn't say, Nelson, you can handle. Or, Marlon, you're able to handle this. God okayed that. Can we accept Him and walk with Him? Because God loves and cares for each one of us. God does care what happens for us. He does care what kind of choices we make and the decisions and the way we view life. But we need to become as that child and turn our hearts to Him. We're the only creature He created that can have a relationship with Him. I love watching nature. I love watching wildlife, birds. And we marvel at how they can praise the many different songs they sing. And these are little creatures that are just going off of instinct. But we're the only thing in the entire universe that can satisfy that heart, that brings satisfaction to the heart of God as we turn our heart in praise and thanksgiving to Him. There's no other creature, no other thing that can have a fellowship with the Father in heaven that will bring joy and satisfaction to Jesus' heart. How will you respond? How will I respond to this command of thankfulness? Will God have to speak to me like He did to the children of Israel to get my attention? We have a choice today to remember that He is the potter, we are the clay, and He has our best interest in mind, and we do best to simply turn our praise and thanksgiving to Him. So this evening, you and I will have to take control of our mind, of our heart, and praise Him. Let's kneel for prayer.